The GAA Podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.
Alrighty, welcome back. So again, we've got Monday Night Rugby with Keith Wood and Rory O'Connor on the way. Busy football show. Mick McCarthy in conversation with Stephen Doyle, Dan McDonald back in studio, and Pat Nevin as well is going to join us. In the meantime, let's go down to Healy Ray country. Kieran Donaghy, hello.
Joe, how are you?
I'm very well. So we've a busy weekend to talk about. Not the Healy Rays, you'll be relieved to hear. More so the action on the pitch. Tyrone 40.
They're always winning.
They're unstoppable. They're unstoppable. Tyrone 14 points, Kerry 13 points. We should talk about the game as well. But obviously the Clifford decision, the David Clifford sending off ultimately, is what has had everybody talking. So give us your assessment of it. I dare say it's pretty much the same as everybody's assessment.
I suppose it boils down to, I put it up on Twitter yesterday and I got an awful lot of feedback, kind of like I was criticizing Tyrone and that it was a Tyrone only thing. Look, this is obviously not a Tyrone only thing. This is, you know, something that's crept in recently. And it comes down to, I suppose, the fact that maybe people are banking on officials, you know, umpires in particular, not knowing the situation of what's going on. Look, and that's obviously what happened yesterday. I don't think either of these umpires knew that David Clifford was already on a yellow. Probably didn't know what was unfolding, just thought it was a bit of handbags. But I really think we need to start looking, you know, maybe the officials, umpires in particular, because the ref has so much going on already in his plate, that the umpires need to help him out. And who's starting these things, who's instigating them, and take the action maybe on the person that instigates it more often than not, because it's often the reactor. I always said to our Kerry fellas, we always got sent off, particularly against Northern teams, because we were reacting to being antagonised or being pushed around, and it's often the reactor in every sense of the word gets the punishment, because that's the blatant one, and the instigator is obviously starting something to try and get that reaction out of you. So, it's tough on officials when that kind of stuff is going on. But you know, look, it just boils down to the fact that these teams are working so hard. The management teams are putting in so many hours. I don't think the same can be said for umpires behind the goals. How much they're putting into the actual.
We've been saying that for I don't know how long. Like, we could go back to a show like this 20 years ago and people would be saying umpires and linesmen need to help the referee out. As you saw it, were you at the game or just watching on TV?
No, just watching on TV.
So the general, for people maybe who may not have caught it, obviously a lot going on over the last couple of days, people may not have seen everything. So David Clifford's having a fine game. He was giving Ronan McNamee a tough time. He's on a yellow card. Tyrone bring on Ben McDonald. And pretty soon afterwards, they're tussling on the ground. Now, the camera angles I've seen don't show exactly how it started, but the general analysis is that, well, McDonald would have known that Clifford's on a yellow. Obviously, he takes a gamble. They go for a roll on the ground. Clifford's on the ground kind of holding his hands out as if to say, I'm not fighting back here. I'm not engaged in this. Fergal Kelly, the referee, runs down and he does the old classic a yellow card each routine, and so Clifford's off. And it looks like a perfectly orchestrated bit of work on Ben McDonald's part. Now, I don't know exactly what happened, and I stress that, but that's the general analysis people have had. So what should happen there? What does Fergal Kelly need to do there?
I think Fergal Kelly doesn't need to do anything. As I said, he's enough going on in his plate. I think it's his umpires. And is it their fault? They're officials of the game, so yes, it is their fault. They're there and they're watching the game. You know, I think people ask, what are they looking at? They're looking at the ball. You know, that's what they're looking at as the game is unfolding before them. And you know, their job shouldn't be to look at the ball and how great of a game it is and what's going on. Their job should be looking at, you know, what's going on in front of them. Is there a back trying to antagonize a forward? Is there a forward trying to antagonize a back? Is there pulling and dragging going on? You know, I often look, and I'm sure a lot of inside forwards will tell you this, that you get pulled and dragged around the place for 60 minutes and eventually the umpire comes, or the umpire tells the ref and the ref comes in and and books your man. And I always had a kind of a feeling that, look, it's too late now, you know.
Yeah.
I needed that to happen in the first 5 minutes. But, you know, maybe that their roles are, you know, more defined, that they have clear understanding of what they're meant to do. And look, and this goes, I made this point on Shot Clock last year, Joe, on OTBM. I said that the Aussie rules, they've and like we speak about Aussie rules so much, and we take their most complicated rule and we make it even more complicated, and some of the simplest stuff they have we turn away from. But they've got one young official, an up and coming maybe referee, and they cover the entire width of the goal scoring range, which is like a GA post, which is 6 points, and then the further behind range, which is about, I think, 18 meters wide. They have one person that runs over and back and gets in the right angles. So if the ball's coming down the right-hand side of the pitch, they get over to the left-hand side of it to get a clear view if it goes over or not. And they have one person that does all that. And, you know, maybe it is time to get up-and-coming referees, and also that the up-and-coming referees learn off of the main man in the middle, and he meets with them beforehand. And, okay, guys, I want you looking at, you know, inside forwards, inside backs. You know, I need you to be watching what's going on. I need you constantly informing me, talking to me. And that's probably what needs to happen, because realistically, like this will go on. And if a guy is looking out the field and then looks in front of him and sees two guys on the ground, sure, of course his automatic answer is going to be give them both a yellow. But if they're actually watching at what happened, could they pick out the guy who started this row or started the instigation of it?
I accept that. So in the short term, right, we're not going to revolutionise the quality of umpires in the next few months. But what struck me watching it was Fergal Kelly is the referee. He's the man ultimately who has to make the call. So say he runs down, sees the two lads on the ground. His umpires don't know who started it exactly. Now, when it's someone like Clifford who's on a yellow and Kerry are trailing in the game, you have to use a bit of common sense, I would put it to you, and say to yourself, it is unlikely that he would have risked getting involved with a substitute unprovoked. Therefore, just booking the two of them doesn't quite wash here. Like, really, what was to stop Fergal Kelly saying to the two lads, you come in, turning to McDonald and saying, I have a feeling you started this, but I didn't see it, but you were on thin ice. David, I want nothing out of you as well. And then going to the umpires and saying, lads, ye missed that. You need to watch these two like hawks for the next few minutes. If you see anything out of McDonald or Clifford, let me know. I'm going to deal with it. And no booking for now. But we lads, we're on your case. And whatever happened then, at least if it's McDonald who did what people say he did, or vice versa, at least it's unlikely to happen again. But like, just dishing out the two yellows.
Yeah, look, the dishing out the two yellows is something that's been happening for, as you said, 20 years. Yeah. So, and you have to give Fergal Kelly a bit of a break in this instance as well. Like, this is a hostile game with a hostile atmosphere. The game is in the balance. You know, he sees two fellas rolling around the ground. There's a big crowd around him at that stage. You know, could he come in and do that? Absolutely, Joe. And in hindsight, and when we watch it back in TV, it seems very logical and very easy. But you have to picture this guy is running around for 65 minutes at this stage, flat to the mat after a bunch of young athletes. And then he's coming into this scenario. And yeah, maybe that is a common sense part of it. But, you know, What'd be better is that his umpires were actually just watching it and not watching the game of how great a spectacle it is, and just inform him correctly, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, one of my favourite days ever at Croke Park was watching Aidan O'Shea mark you and all the fun and games. You know, it's kind of took on its own magic in a way. In general, though, your experience of being full forward umpires, you said there often after 60 minutes when it was too late, they might intervene. In the main, like the tricks of the trade, you said it's not just Tyrone. Certainly they seem to be one of the proponents of it, though. What's going on in full forward lines that we're not always seeing?
Oh, like, you know, every good back, and, you know, I was involved with the Sigerson team in the Tralee IT this year. Like, every good back, you want him wired into his man. You want him very tight. You want him pushing the boundaries to the very edge. And that's what good fullbacks do, and that's what good cornerbacks do. So, you know, it's when they go beyond that and, you know, they're pulling and dragging, or they're stamping on your foot, or they're pulling your jersey, or something that's, you know, that is quite obvious. But it's not obvious if the officials are looking out the field at the ball that's about to be kicked in. And, you know, that's really that's really, and like that, if there was clearer communication, you know, if the umpires were on it straight away, you know, if they see a cornerback pulling a corner forward, that they're literally saying, if I see you pull the jersey once more, I'm calling the referee and you're going to be booked. Mm. And the cornerback goes, okay, that's the boundary set now. You know, I'm going to have to go about this a different way. I can't, you know, but it's the lack of I would say, watching these instances, yes, and looking watching. Out for them. And we're ball watching, which is we all go to games and, you know, I've done umpire at club games at the odd time. Like, of course, you're standing back there. Of course, you're looking at the ball. Yeah. But
would umpires,
you know,
get
this
involved
is what happens
like
when you don't have somebody
there. Yeah. Would umpires get involved vocally ever and say, I'm watching you. I see what you're doing there. Could it
they would. Yeah, they would. Yeah. Right. But I would say is they probably need they need a bigger role and you need more. That's why, you know, the up and coming referees is the way to go. The other problem I have with this is they're often family members or very close friends, so they're in a very tricky situation where they mightn't want to overrule, or the ref mightn't want to overrule them, or try and figure something out. It's a very tricky one to handle. So, you know, look, obviously nothing's going to be done. I think the simplest thing to do from now on is that refs are constantly talking to their umpires, that their umpires are marking down who's booked. To watch out for this potential thing happening again. And as I said at the start of this, this isn't the first time it happened, and I don't think it'll be the last time this year, but it's just something that refs and umpires know, maybe flagged, because umpires mightn't been aware of this happening at this stage. But I think after the weekend, they certainly will be.
Yeah, well, just to stress again, to be fair, I don't know exactly what happened between Ben McDonald.
Yeah, and I said that
Griffin.
In my tweet, Joe. We didn't get great camera angles. So I said at the bottom of it, maybe other camera angles could suggest otherwise, because I was thinking maybe another broadcaster had their cameras there and they might get, maybe Dave Clifford walked in and started it. I don't know.
Exactly.
But look, obviously, yeah, you think that it would be the cornerback sent on to ruffle his feathers.
Yeah, it looks that way. But to be fair to McDonald, we don't know, and we're stressing that point now.
Correct.
Bobby the Dub has texted in, Jesus Donaghy, you spent your life dragging out of people. That is a great text from Bobby the Dub.
It is. Bobby the Dub had a good view of plenty of dubs dragging me around the place too from Hill 16, I'd say.
What about the game?
I wasn't starting it. George.
Oh, no, of course. No, ye lads never started it.
No, I used to say to them, look, we can play football, but if you want to start the pulling and dragging, we can do that as well. But if fella came out and just was a nice guy and played a bit of football, it was a great easy day out for me.
Yeah, well, Kerry 13 points to Tyrone's 14 points. What about the game generally? Take much from this? Conditions, obviously, in pretty much all the games were dreadful over the weekend.
Yeah, they were. Look, what I took out of it is given the conditions. Some of the points kicked by players were unbelievable yesterday. Look, you know, Clifford's long range kicking is something to behold. McCurry's kick at the end, you know, just some of the points taken were tremendous in tough conditions. Niall Morgan, some of his strikes off the ground, he kept them in the game into the breeze with a good few frees. Tough kicks into that breeze yesterday, and yeah, it was a game really that was always going to be a kind of a dogfight, and both teams, nobody backed away from it, and I think just Tyrone maybe got the benefit of them that McCurry sideline kick, which is, look, inevitably it is the game winner, and when you lose a game to a point like that, you tip your hats to Tyrone and Darren McCurry in particular, and say, look, we got beaten by a point, and that's one of the best points you'll see all year.
Another issue, I mean, maybe it is the time of year where you end up talking about referee and stuff generally, but Dublin 115, Monaghan 115, a draw. Monaghan beat the Dubs last year. They've drawn against them here. Probably should have seen this one out. They're a team, you know, they've been in Division 1 now for 6 years and are looking to kick on. So they'll rue the wastefulness there. And for Dublin, they certainly in the first half were very lethargic. I'll ask you about the two teams in a minute. But Dublin kicked the equaliser in the 80th. Minute, Davy Byrne with the equaliser, so 80th minute there. The club final, Kilcoo and Cara Finn, there's at least 10 minutes of added time there. Andy McEntee the next day for Meath was unhappy at the extent to which referees have discretion, and he was saying there seems to be one rule for the bigger teams, a different rule for the smaller teams. Dublin get an extra 2 minutes last night to get an equalising score. We don't get our 2 seconds when at least one player is blatantly lying on the ground for 30 seconds holding his head because of injury. So where we are at the moment, Kieran, and I don't know if it's satisfactory or not, but there's generally 4 or 5 minutes, you know, subs, 20 seconds, 4 or 5 minutes of added time at the end of the 70, plus referee's discretion. And that's always a bit vague, and managers in close games are always going to be unsure about the discretion. The opposing argument is obviously that, well, post 70 minutes, all sorts of shenanigans and time wasting breaks out, so you need to try and counter that.
Yeah.
So how do we find a situation where we're not in the 83rd minute every game and where everybody's feeling a bit happier?
I suppose, look, the most simple thing is you go down like the ladies football, and you bring in the clock and you stop it, and you know, you get a bit of excitement with the additional time and somebody just stopping it every time, and then you're back to the club game. Does that happen down in lower divisions, and what you do if there's not a clock at the game, etc. And there's all them kind of problems. But you know, I guess a lot of these venues that these games, you know, Eden Dark, the last day, wouldn't have a clock that people could see. So it's a difficult one. But look, I think the referees, I think they're doing a good. Like I'd agree with Andy McEntee. I think Andy McEntee's team was hard done by yesterday, because I felt they should have got maybe another 40 or 50 seconds to see if they could have engineered an equalising point. Because certainly the Dubs, and even Kerry 2 weeks ago, Kerry got the benefit of, you know, a bit of messing around by the Dubs, and the referee acknowledging that and giving Kerry a chance to get up the field. I think in the club final, I think Cora Finn were messing around a bit in at a time, trying to kill off the game. And that allowed time for Kilcou to engineer the equaliser that took him to extra time. And again, the last day with Dublin and Monaghan, that Monaghan were at a bit of it, and the Dubs came up and do what they do best, is don't get beat when it looks like you should. And they were able to pull it out of the bag. So, it really is a tricky one. When it gets to 70 minutes, you just stop your watch every time. They might be doing that in a way, but it's very hard for the person in the stand or even managers to know what's going on. But I would say that the biggest frustration on Andy McEntee's part, and I think he's probably wrong when he says the big teams and... you know, the big teams get extra preferential behaviour. I would say that there's a level of consistency applied within the referees in general to say that they keep an eye out for this, that if there is messing going on, you know, almost for the punishment of bringing the game into that state where you're pulling men to the ground, you're kicking balls away, you're feigning injury, that the referees almost punish that by allowing the team the chance to get a crack, you know. And once referees do that to the best of their ability, if the team can capitalise on that and the time runs out, it runs out. But it's a very hard one unless you go down the Hooter method, which is, you know, which the Hooter method to me, you know, would be fierce exciting in games. Any injuries go down, the clock stops. You know, it's something that makes the game exciting. You know, you have 1:20 to go on. You 15 seconds to go, and the team are coming up the pitch with the ball, and you know, any foul there, the whistle stopped, you've a free out in the middle of the field with 14 seconds to go, you're trying to engineer a score, there's a huge level of excitement could be brought by that. And we've seen late scores in the women's game that is, you know, on the Hooter or after the Hooter, and that brings great excitement to it. So that's probably a way it could go, how that is reffed down in, obviously. Yeah. And that's always a thing the GAA have when they're trying to bring in new rules, is how the County League Division 4 is going to handle it in different counties, etc.
Yeah, listen, brilliant stuff. Clock's just come against us there. Thanks a million. We'll talk to you again.
All right, no problem.
Come on, Kieran Donaghy, back after this. The GAA Podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.